Follow the order of worship as printed in the bulletin. O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship him.
May God be gracious to us and bless us.
And make his face to shine upon us.
That your way may be known on earth.
Your saving power among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
For you judge the peoples with equity. Guide the nations upon earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has yielded its increase.
God, our God, shall bless us.
God shall bless us.
Let all the ends of the earth fear him.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship him.
We pray together the collect of the day. Almighty God, your mercies are new every morning, and you graciously provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may acknowledge your goodness, give thanks for your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The first reading, the epistle reading for this evening, is from Philippians chapter 4. Verses 4 through 20. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except only you. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation is invited to stand and say the Alleluia and verse. Alleluia. Alleluia. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Just a brief word about the gospel reading before I go into it. It's not a normal gospel reading for Thanksgiving. It's a wonderful gospel reading. But starting tonight, and then also in our Advent services, and also at Christmas and New Year's, I want to focus on what's called the seven I am statements of Jesus out of John, out of the Gospel from John. This is the first: I am the bread of life. Well, being Thanksgiving and bread of life and thankfulness, it kind of fits together. Mostly we'll concentrate on our Thanksgiving, but we'll start thinking about these I am statements that Jesus said and everything that he is to us. The Holy Gospel from John chapter 6, verses 22 through 59. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should not lose, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me. but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. So Jesus said these things in a synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The congregation may be seated. We sing the sermon hymn, Lord Jesus Christ, Life-Giving Bread, 625.
Just green, Lord, safely go.
As I mentioned at the beginning of the gospel reading, we'll be thinking about giving thanks for everything that God has given us, as well as thinking about how Jesus is our bread of life, how he provides for our spiritual lives, eternal life. To start, you're invited to look at that half-page yellow insert to the first article about creation. And it's in the bold print. And we say that together, the first short article itself, and then also the what does this mean and the meaning. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Maybe many of you might remember saying this memory work. Depending on the pastor, sometimes you were able to break the meaning up into parts, or sometimes you had to learn it all together at once. One of the things that's important for us in any age, in any era, is not only to certainly confess that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. Who is in control of all of life? God says he still takes care of everything he has given us. Now, when we think about God is in control, we often may think of the weather. That's true, good. We may think of larger issues, whole area, like if it's a drought area or there's too much rain or a hurricane, that's true. If you think about the whole universe, it's true. You might think about one's own health or the health of a loved one. It's true. God is in control. But he's in control of all things. So that means all the resources might help me, my employer, agencies, governments, whatever. He works through those things. Yeah, but Pastor, if you knew how bad that agency actually is, how can you say that is God in control? If anything is coming out of an agency or government that's good at all, it is from God. Every good thing is from God. Everything that contributes to my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. What does it look like when there's a complete breakdown? Well, this wasn't a complete breakdown, but it was close. Some of you have heard Deb or I talk about it. We don't know why it wasn't in the national news. One of the main hospital systems in northern Wisconsin to Minnesota, from Green Bay all the way over to Minneapolis, the hospital system was hacked, ransomware. Their phones went down, their computers went down, their patient records went down. Everything went down for weeks. So our son-in-law, Scott, was supposed to get a test. no test. Other people, what happens in emergency rooms? You could actually still go to clinic. They were all walk-in clinics. But everything was by paper. There's no computer, nothing. You couldn't call up. And so when, whether that was, and we never really did hear, whether it was a hack from a foreign country or from a hacker group or whatever, that is enemy action to close something down. God preserves our systems and our ways of doing things, our agencies and our governments, so that he is still taking care of us. Because if the devil would have his way, he would shut down everything. God is in control. Anything that's good coming at all is good. If a place isn't working very well, then they need more of God. And we pray for them. And God knows exactly what I need. He knows every little detail about us. If we were born with a certain way of walking or a certain way of seeing, born that way, he knows. If we had something happen in childhood that has bothered us all the way through to us older, our old age, he knows. He knows what ailments have come. He knows what accidents have happened. He knows everything. He knows how to take care of us, and he wants to. He has designed us. Even with our flaws, he doesn't create something bad, but he knows that that's how we are, and he's taking care of us. He is giving me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. And who directs me to ask for help? Fathers, even the best fathers, can be well-meaning and be a little bit overbearing sometimes. We can give advice when our children are small and guidance, and then they get a little bit older, and we're still giving them advice, and then still older and older, and sometimes we should be listening to them for advice, but we still give advice. Because we're fathers and we want to try to help. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But our Heavenly Father, he knows how to help us, and he wants us to ask him to help us. He wants to be involved in our lives. My Father knows best. He knows. So who do we thank for all these things that's happening in our lives? The first thing I have there in the notes is, and sometimes we can forget this, is that people are blessings from God. And what they do for us. People are blessings from God. Just happens that Scott and Becky have had an adventuresome last 6 months. So I have another story about them. Some of you have heard it. So they were trying to sell their used truck. And a really, really bad guy, posed as a good guy and as a buyer, gave them $4,000 cash and $6,000 in check, and the check bounced. But he had the truck already. And so Scott went to the Mondovi police. Mondovi is about 3,000 people, west side of Wisconsin, where Scott is a pastor. The Mondovi police helped him and his father go find a guy two counties away who was known to do this type of thing. And the Mondovi police helped Scott get his truck back. And they told Scott, this, nobody has ever gotten their vehicle back from this guy. Because you got to take them to small claims court, fine, you lose it. But they got their truck back. And that very next morning, we heard about this, and we have been praying about it, Deb and I, and the very next morning they had the truck back, and Becky said in a note to us, thank God for the Mondovi police. God was working through the Mondovi police to, so they would not be a complete victim of this really, really bad guy. So God works through so many ways to take care of us, and it's very good to thank people. Thank you. And maybe there's a way you can even have a witness. God has used you in my life to help me. Thank you. But to realize that God is working through them and to thank them. And we thank God for everything. Everything that He is doing for us. As we think deeply about everything that God provides for us in different ways, we see that there's countless ways to thank Him and give praise Him and bring our petitions to Him, like just four new prayer petitions we mentioned before that we bring before our Father. And Jesus cares about people and He takes care of us, and at the same time He says, as in our text, and also, I am the bread of life. There's many places we could kind of look at this to get a handle on this, but one place is, and it's recorded in all of the three first gospels, but I read from Luke chapter 5, verses 22, 23, and 24. You'll recognize it as when the fellow was lowered down to the roof, and his friends carried him lowered in the roof, and Jesus healed him. This is three verses from that reading. Jesus said, "Why do you question in your hearts which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." Jesus cared about his paralysis. But He wanted to forgive his sins, to give him eternal life. And Jesus gave a witness and sign to everybody watching there, I can do both. I can forgive sins, and I can also heal and provide for physical needs. And this is the main thing Jesus is trying to give the crowds in that John 6 gospel reading what we had. I am the bread of life. You take this sign of manna given through Moses to be a great thing, and you want another sign like that. But what you really need is the bread of life that gives eternal life, life everlasting, that gives forgiveness of sins. As we grow older, as we may have accidents, as we may have setbacks, we might start seeing, either older or younger in life, is this all that life is about? Because this is looking pretty tough. And the answer from Jesus is, no, it's not what life is all about. Life is eternal, and there is a time of eternal healing, a time of eternal joy. There is this time now of difficulty. As God is in our lives and we are witnesses and we are serving Him. But He wants us to have everlasting life apart from the sorrow of sin and death. Now it's recognized that when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, He is saying, I am God. I am Yahweh. I am the Lord. I am the Lord God. And He says this a number of times in John, which we will be looking at in future services. But Jesus is identifying Himself as Creator, as the one whom we can turn to. As we give thanks and recognize the many, many things that whatever good is happening to us, it is from God Himself, working through people, working through agencies, working through miracles. Whatever it may be, He's working and blessing us. He also wants us to see, look at Jesus, my Son, and look to Him for eternal life. So one day our lives will end on this earth in one way or another. God wants us to continue to live with Him in His house forever. Thus, we need Jesus for that too. As we go to Jesus with our prayers and petitions, we recognize everything that He's done for us. We give Him thanksgiving. But we know that he is also feeding our souls and minds. Everything that we need. He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for sending your Son, Jesus, who adds to our bodily needs, our spiritual needs. And in him, you have provided for body and soul. And we forget this at times. We don't recognize the immense and innumerable goodness that you give us every day. Help us to be thankful. Help us to have faith. And help us say these good words about Jesus to others so that they may know that they can turn to him both for body and soul, for this life and for life eternal. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the hymn, Sing to the Lord of Harvest, 893. The offering is brought up during the last verse. Congregation is invited to stand. We pray the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church, printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For grateful hearts and generosity of spirit, that God would receive our thanks for the rich bounty the earth has provided, and for the daily bread that supplies all we need for this body and life, and that he would teach us to be generous with his gifts, willingly sharing with those in need. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those the Lord has sent to preach the gospel, that we who do not live by bread alone may hear the word that comes from the mouth of God and live. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For
for husbands and wives, parents and children, that the Lord would bless them, make his face shine upon them, and make known to them his saving power, that they in turn may make his truth known on the earth to the coming generation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For President Biden and all who hold high offices among us, that God would bless them and that we may lead peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray for Margaret and Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, James, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Sue, and Steve, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Helen, Michael, Ray, Lane, Don, Diana, Dave, Randy, Francis, Pastor Sampson, and we remember Chelsea undergoing surgery, and Russ, and Craig, and Joe. And we give thanksgiving for the recovery of Mary. We pray for all who suffer in our midst, that the Lord would grant them health in accord with his perfect will and guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For a legacy of faith, that just as we look to the saints who have gone before us, we too may be found faithful by the next generation of believers. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For contentment in our Lord's care, that we may learn the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need, able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Hear us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We sing the prayer, the hymn, God Bless Our Native Land.
God bless our native land, fair may she ever stand through storm and night. When the wild tempest rave, ruler of wind and wave, do thou our country save by thy great might. So shall our prayers arise to God above the skies. On him we wait. Thou who art ever nigh, guiding with watchful eye, to thee aloud we cry, God save the state.
We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
We sing the closing hymn, Come, Ye Thankful People Come, 892.